So do you, but
life is good.
Yeah. All right. Good morning, everybody. It is 11:05. It is February 2nd, 2023. We already said 11:05. Welcome to Leon County Research and Development Authority Board of Governor meeting. I call this to order. Do we have any guests we'd like to? Well, first of all, Commissioner Caban, yes. Welcome to the Leon County Research Development Authority.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Happy to be here. I'm looking forward to serving that role this morning.
Good to be in District 2.
It is. Best place to be in Leon County.
And would you like to introduce Alex?
Yes, I have my wonderful aide, Allie Richards. So, yeah, we're happy to be here.
Good. We appreciate it. Thank you both.
If I could jump in real
quick,
just on a personal note, with none of those Christian colleagues, but a good friend. But I don't know many people realize that Christian's company single-handedly is investing more money in downtown, downtown Tallahassee right now, between Standard and Clyde's, and then redoing the government. That's Christian now. So I always like to thank you both. Y'all are investing more money than anybody else in downtown.
I appreciate that.
You're doing good stuff.
I appreciate that. Economic development is very important to us, especially. I have a vested interest in seeing us be successful here at Innovation Park because it's in my district. And I've always been a big believer of, I think that we have a huge opportunity to recruit some tech companies to our community and really bring a lot of jobs.
Michael, we could have a meeting at Clyde's. I mean,
economic development.
We know somebody. Yeah, we know somebody.
Very good. So, item number three, I do not believe that there's any of our board members remote, so we do not need to approve participation by electronic means. Number four, are there any modifications to the agenda?
Peggy, did we have one?
Just the approval, yes. Thanks. Sorry, y'all. Dylan Haas is replacing John Reddick on the DRC, which is the Development Review Committee, because the positions have changed. So that's just, we send them a letter, we say approved.
Very good.
A motion and that can be on consent.
Okay. It can be on consent, or it is one of our consent items.
It can be now.
Okay, it's not. But are there any public comments?
None listed.
All right. The item number six, the approval of the draft meeting minutes.
Second.
All right. It's been properly moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
That's approved. And then item number seven, the consent agenda.
Consent agenda.
Been properly moved.
Second.
Been properly moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That is approved. The item number eight, the treasury report. Mr. Ramsey.
Good morning.
How are you doing, Frank?
I'm fine, thank you. I think this thing works, it does. You have in front of you a new layout. I'm coming with it a little bit differently in terms of financial reporting. Is it going to be on the screen?
No.
No.
Apologies.
All right, I won't get my point.
Yeah, there's technical difficulties. I'm not able to get the screen to share the room. You know?
All right. You have a income statement as your first item. We'll see the budgeted figures at $331, almost $332 million of revenue since the first quarter began or first part of the year began, against actual of only $243. So we're short on revenue by about $89,000. Looking at the total operating expense line, however, is a bit of news. We had budgeted some $358,000. We've only spent some $251,000. So we have a positive or a favorable figure there of $107,000. That brings us to the bottom line of net income. Had budgeted for a loss of $93,000. Our loss is only $77,000. So we're $16,000 favorable, if that can be a favorable thing to have a loss. One of the big items up there is $102,000 for property administration budgeted. And that mostly includes things like legal, accounting, and marketing. And that'll catch up with us. We just haven't spent it in the first quarter, but we'll begin spending more of that. We have an audit going on now, so eventually we'll have to pay for that, so on and so forth. The bottom there where you see the 68,506 depreciation. Now let's go over to the next page, which is the cash flow report, which is a little different than what you have seen in the past as well. We've broken it down because so many times last year when I was reporting something, we showed some particular period that they had over $1 million of income. Well, that was misleading because of all this money coming in and out of the lab for grant money. It hadn't been spent yet, but it's budgeted here, but the expenditure was there. So we've tried to break this out now with the left part, the NFIL is mostly lab construction, and the LCRDA is mostly our ongoing operations. So I think this is an improvement of what we've been giving you before. You also have a 3-month running figures there, so you can see how we have progressed with cash flow through those periods. Let's look at the very bottom line, though. If you look at the LCRDA part, we had roughly $26,000 of negative cash in October. In November, you see a $477,000, but $470,000 of that was our final distribution of our $1.8 million contribution to the lab buildings. So that would have only been about a $7,000 negative number. But again, over now in December, another $29,000 negative number. So we're really burning through cash. And as a board member and as your treasurer, I want to make sure we're following these financials, because as you may remember in our strategic plan some time ago, we said there was a 1A and a 1B. The 1A was to get the lab built and opened on time. And 1B was to make sure we could afford all these things. So watch these numbers carefully. On the next page, you'll see a balance sheet. And this is, again, a combined balance sheet. You'll see that from November to December, our cash has dropped, as we were sort of talking about. But our receivables have picked up a little bit. We've got some more receivables due. But overall, you see there the combined balance sheet. You go to the next page, you'll look and you'll see the investment yields at the big curve there. The nice thing about that is that from a year ago, when we were getting 0.1% interest on the Florida Prime, it's now up to 4.25. The bad thing on the next page you'll see is that now we don't have hardly as much money in the investment account. It's dropped from $3.5 million a year ago to about $1.26 million now. So not only are we burning through cash, but we're burning through our investments. And these are serious things that we all need to be aware of. Mr. Chair, that completes my financial report to the board. We'll have one more comment about something different, though, if this is all approved.
So, let's first of all, thank you. This is this report is very clear. It's easy to understand. I think there will be many questions today that are generated out of this report. So I'd like to open it up for conversation. I'll start that again. In looking at line number one, the total revenue line, this is not a cash basis statement. It's an accrual accounting, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. So inside of total revenue, and then when I flip over page two, and I see on the there's the first line, first yellow line, it's cash flow. Three lines down from that is rent. $57,000, $51,000, $46,000. How much space do we have to rent out in the park?
Our total space that total we have space. Available to rent, neighborhood of 80,000.
Neighborhood 80,000.
Square feet? Yes. What? A little lack of clarity of how much of that frankly is common hallway, bathroom.
Okay, so that could be an 80 gross.
That's right.
Okay. What do we currently bring in terms of annual gross rent?
rents is $650,000. You add CAM and some other charges that we pass through, and it's probably closer to $740,000 right now. That's a run rate we're on, $740,000 a year.
Okay, so going back to the first page where it looks like the actual revenue is $250,000. But what we're achieving on a cash basis is probably close to $750,000. Let's focus today, at least for this part of the conversation, on that. What do we have as our business plan that supplements the rent to the 80 plus or minus 1,000 square feet?
Short of grants and appropriations or other sources, we don't have another source of revenue other than to lease out the space we have.
Okay. So that's an important thing for everybody to understand. Our business plan as Innovation Park, the LCRDA, is to rent out, lease out 80,000 square feet, which is generating $650,000 to $750,000 a year, including CAM. What are our operating expenses that apply to that, or not just that 80, but the entirety of the park?
Closer to $1 million, $1.1 million.
Okay. Yeah. Dave, I believe that's why we're burning through cash and eating into the reserves. And is that correct?
That's correct.
Folks, my response to that question also did not include capital expenditures. That was operating expenses.
Okay. Okay, that's an important point because we are a 43-year-old research park, and our business plan is to lease out 80,000 square feet. Simply leasing it isn't covering our operating expenses, and there are no substantial reserves to do capital improvements.
Yeah.
Fair?
Yeah.
Is everybody understanding?
More than what we've already
limited.
This is limited. Now, you showed us the balance sheet, and Dave, you showed us the balance sheet, and we have a combined balance sheet there. We were talking recently about in the last several meetings, we've talked about North Florida Innovation Labs and its P&L and its balance sheet. I believe, is Bill Lixon on the line?
He is, and I apologize that my screen sharing is not working correctly.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm on. I'm here, Chair.
Good. Bill, how are you doing?
Good. Good. Thanks.
You had shared with us in previous meetings the order of magnitude that will be required in terms of corporate sponsorship or other investments that will be necessary in order for the operations of North Florida Innovation Lab to break even. Correct?
Yes.
Can you share a little bit of insight on that?
Yeah, essentially, I don't mean to state it in this way. The financial report is really a best case scenario. We will need to find funds in advance of opening for staffing and operations, furniture, fixtures, and equipment. And those funds are largely unfunded. As you're aware, we did receive $729,000 for four of the staff positions. However, we do not have funding once we receive the certificate of occupancy or in advance of that for things like filling up the generator with gas, the deposit for city utilities, a number of pre-opening obligations, and post-opening, we will need additional staff for things like fundraising, government relations, and other sources. This is clearly a revenue issue and not an expense issue, given the fact that we will take delivery on this building in about 11 months or 333 days. So we are hard at work looking, as Michael mentioned, at grant resources local, state, federal, and private sponsors. And that's a I can answer more detailed. Post-opening, we will still need ongoing grant support for the programmatic and the overhead required to operate the lab.
Very good, thank you. is everybody picking up what's being laid down?
Yeah, and I think I would add to what Bill said. I think he referred to a lot of kind of pre-opening, get started expenses, but the magnitude we're talking about on an ongoing basis for the three-year projection is about $600,000-$700,000 per year that we will need to fund the operations of the lab. Make with assumptions based on 50%, 70%, 90% occupancy over that period. And that is funding that there is no current model to get right now.
What are we advertising rent per square foot?
I don't know the answer to that, Bill. We're working on a rate card. I don't believe we have a rate card right now.
Yeah, that's a great question. And there's an estimate in the pro forma, and the membership fees is what we would call rent because it's combined programs, facilities, et cetera, are largely tied to the accoutrements in the lab or the offices. And currently there is no furniture, fixtures, and equipment. So depending on our success in acquiring those assets, that will determine the pricing of the individual spaces within the lab. From the outset, there's a hierarchy. The wet labs will be more expensive than the open flex labs downstairs. So that's an overview on what's currently in the pro forma. And what's in the pro forma are chunks that are estimated against the different lab spaces as they're designed.
Very good.
Can I add one more thing? Just as I think it's also worth pointing out that the rate we're doing memberships rather than leasing space, so to speak. Some of the rents are going to be $50 to $70, $75 a foot. But I think it's important to mention that 40,000 square foot facility has 13,000 feet of what I'll call membership or rental, whatever word you want to use. That's the rentable piece of the place, right? So the rest is in common areas, break rooms, community spaces, all sorts of spaces that aren't really going to be rented or membered in a traditional sense. So you've got a building where a third of it's kind of rentable.
Yeah, I think we should look at how much square feet do we have that we will actually be able to generate income on. And then from there, see what...
I'm sorry, inside the lab or inside all of the park?
Of this 80,000 square feet.
Okay.
I think we need to see of the 80,000 square feet, how much of that square feet can we generate income on? And then what is our break-even number so we don't continue to get in the hole?
Okay, so some of this is going to result in direction that we give to administrative direction that we give to staff. And what you're asking for, I agree with. That is, we need an assessment of the space. We need to understand what's our gross number, what's our net number.
And we're talking about our present space.
Correct.
The old space.
Yeah.
Non-lab space. Yes. And I would encourage, after the meeting is over, that we step through the hallway here and look at the facilities that have been just refurbished. They are first-class quality and would be available for immediate lease. I think I can comment and acknowledge that our interim director has found from Leon County excess furniture area to actually bring some desks in and bookshelves in and so on and actually make that even space that's available, not only that, but some of them being furnished. So
minor point of clarification, we will do that at the end of our meeting, but before we close the meeting, just full disclosure. Eric.
This question really particularly relates to the lab space, the new building itself. Has there been a projection done as to what the net economic benefit of a fully functional incubator building will be in terms of maybe the increased tax base or whatever metrics people use, so we can understand a little bit about talking about costs, what it's going to cost to run this side of it. What's the other side of it look like?
So, Bill or Michael, do either of y'all have information on that? Have we looked to CEFA to perform an economic impact analysis? Is that Eric? Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yes, that was done as a part of the original grant application, and it used the common methodology M-Plan, and it rolled up a large number, and I think off the top of my head, it was over 600 full-time jobs by the time the money for construction, staffing, and the companies themselves, that is the number that that was in the projection. We'll be tracking all those metrics for the next 9 years as a requirement for reporting to the EDA. So we'll have precise numbers on all of those things once the lab opens. But from the outset, in terms of the dollars turning in the marketplace and the jobs, it was over 600 jobs. And that basis was on the first grant of $17 million, and now we're approaching $25 million in terms of the construction project itself.
Well, what's the average value ascribed to each job in terms of salaries and stuff like that?
I don't know what that metric was, but we can dig into the model. I think the folks at Florida State University did that study.
So as another exercise, I think what I'd like as a byproduct of this meeting, if we can summarize specifically related to North Florida Innovation Lab, where we are in terms of our construction spending, what we believe the deficit or the gap is between the capital stack that we have and what we actually need to get the building up, open, and operational, and then what will be necessary in terms of supplemental dollars on the go forward. And I don't want this to be a 15-page deep dive that nobody's going to pay attention to. I want this to be a 2-page summary that everybody can quickly read and internalize and be able to then turn around and articulate. Mr. Mayor, you look like you're about to say something.
I'm about to throw up. I mean, Michael, when we brought you on interim, I believe in you. You're one of the smartest guys I know. And while I'm glad we brought you on, could you also shoot straight? And you put it on the table. So let me see if I can put this question in a positive light. And you might not have the answer today, and I understand it. It's a two-part question. First is the existing park, and the second is the lab itself. Do you see a pathway to survival financially between the two? Michael, you go up here in Tallahassee too. The park has never been full in over 40 years. And here we are right now facing the economic challenges that we're facing. Are we going to be able to pull out of this?
I think there's a lot of paths forward. I think we're going to behave differently, probably to kind of try and achieve that objective. I don't believe there is a realistic way that if I look at our operations, just leasing our space is going to do any better than break even, and that won't cover the capital expenditures required for the buildings the age they are.
Question to what you just said, Michael. Do we have buildings where the cost of operating exceeds the value created?
I am not a real estate professional, but I believe any deep dive into that, the answer is going to be yes on one or two of our buildings. Keep in mind, we are spending $300,000 renovating two elevators in a building presently. Mm-hmm. Our entire park generates $650,000 in revenues. Also worth mentioning is many of our tenants, by nature of their organizations, they would have 60-day outs in their contract. Again, I'm not a real estate guy, but that's a heavy lift for somebody with a potential 60-day out in an agreement.
On agreement.
And I think our space, again, if you haven't toured the facilities, I know David wants to take us through here, which is as good as it is in this park right now. This is for our properties. Some of them, we have original carpet in a couple of the spaces and buildings and areas right now. So to take that tour, it's going to be very hard for somebody. I need to be here just on the spaces that exist. Now we're renovating where we can and as we can afford it.
All right, so Bill, go ahead, and then I'm going to add something else.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I know it sounds a bit pessimistic, but I'm extremely optimistic about the lab. And in many ways, the lab is an easier problem to solve than the other existing buildings. I'm currently at a Florida Business Incubator Association conference, and I'm facilitating a session this afternoon. In advance of that, I was one of the judges of the impact awards across Florida. The impact in terms of comparable labs, the two top facilities in the state, one generated $14 million in outside investment this year, and the winner generated $18 million in outside investment for the companies that they are incubating. I get inquiries about lab space every week from around the country and in some cases internationally. We will fill up the lab. We just have to get it open. There's a tremendous demand for lab space. These types of companies attract private investment. And so I shared with Michael some of the metrics that were shared with me as a judge. And we just need a little time to get this thing open, and it will be the economic engine that we envision.
All right, so thank you. And I think an important distinction, Michael and I have talked about this a bit. The mission of this park is embodied in the lab. We can't miss that. The park itself is 208 acres. It's been in existence for 43 years. Some of our infrastructure is 40 plus years old. There's not in our current business plan, LCRDA specific, we don't have, without some substantial assistance, we don't have a platform to breathe new life into this. Okay, I want to take you back to the letter that we discussed and that I sent to the presidents, to President Robinson, President Murdaugh, and President McCullough, and to County Administrator Vince Long in October. The focus of that letter was, we need to look at the organizational structure of LCRDA. We have operated under an authority for 40-something years. We move at the speed of public meetings. That's problematic in and of itself. But along the way, we've gotten out to a point where we don't have a very visible, excellent path forward. We're going to have to figure something or somebody or some entity will have to step in to help bridge this gap. In 2013, that's when the state of Florida created the P3 model. We've been operating under the authority model that was created in 1979. Okay, whatever the right answer is, how we find financial resources and how we find a development partner that can help us fix, if we have buildings that cost more to own and operate than the value that's contributed, that's a development issue. Michael said he's not a real estate expert. I appreciate the fact that that's a real estate development issue. The lab is the mission. The mission of our park, per our charter, is twofold: research and economic development. There is in excess of $300 million worth of research that is done in and around this park. The research part of it is going very well. The economic development side is not. And so we have to just, our responsibility as the board is to give our staff direction. They need to understand the tools that they have access to so that they can help us create some concepts for how to step forward. As a byproduct of the letter, I've had opportunity to visit on a few occasions now with Vice President of Research, Stacy Patterson. She and I both had a conversation together with President McCullough, and the amount of information here is substantial. It's hard to condense all of that and bring it forward at a level that we need our senior leadership of our institutions of higher learning to appreciate, but we're all invested in this. And so we've kind of gotten, we're at the end of the rope here in terms of the innovation park as the 208-acre business model. We need to come up with an answer. We need to provide our staff the resources in order to provide us some concepts to be able to move forward. Does anybody disagree with that?
No.
No.
Not at all. Ken?
The thing that strikes me, and this is kind of like an 800-pound gorilla in the room, is that the net effect, as Bill had indicated, of the integrated building would be to create over 600 whatever new jobs, each valued at an average price of whatever it is. Now, when that's operational, that's basically found money because it doesn't exist right now. I think it would be worthwhile to figure out if there would be some way wherein LCRDA can benefit from that directly to cover some of these expenses from that found money. And I don't know what the answer is. I know there's going to be a push and pull, and that the city and county are going to have their views of things. But again, it ultimately comes back to the fact that that would not exist had this effort not been done. And it's all, and obviously it can't be done on rent money. I mean, that's silly. So some kind of payback, it kind of reminds me of the real estate that was provided to Dan Foss for essentially nothing. LCRDA is kind of like a piggy bank. We can't have that. We need to have fair return on the efforts and investments that we have, or else it's going to crash and burn, as you said.
I agree with that. And I also think that we can, Michael, can you unpack for us a bit, or Bill, help us understand the contractual relationship between LCRDA and North Florida Innovation Labs? We need to lease the property to the lab, right?
We are working on a ground lease right now from the RDA to the not-for-profit that will be North Florida Innovation Labs.
Okay.
Entity.
So
ground lease. Not much different, if you will, structurally than we had for Dan Boss, except for we're building the building.
And then so we don't yet know what the rate for that needs to be.
That one of my questions right now is, unlike Dan Boss, that basically has a dollar for 50, 60 year lease, a couple of the ones we've done have been effectively $0 for their entire term. But we can argue about the economic, justifications at the time, but I don't want to do the same thing for the NFIL. I don't know the answer. Is it a dollar for a 10-year period, and then it flips to $250,000, $500,000 a year? I think there's other elements. There's the CAM charges. There's all sorts of things that have been somewhat institutionalized in our organization, and I don't want to replicate those going forward because I don't think they address some of the real issues that we're dealing with today. If we were generating revenue from the 30 acres that we have effectively done at zero to the tune of $500,000, $1 million a year, we'd still have the exact same problems with our existing infrastructure, to be sure, but we'd have a funding source to address it.
Okay.
Did I answer your question? Sorry.
You did.
Okay.
Yeah, and to add to that, we sort of wear both hats. So as LCRDA, we own the building, and North Florida Innovation Labs, or Innovation Park TLH, DBA North Florida Innovation Labs, we control that entity as well. And we do need to delineate You know, is it a standard tenant? Who covers insurance? Who does maintenance? All of those kinds of things. And as Michael indicated, we're working through those dynamics, some of which also include the ability to do naming rights and add sponsors on the interior of the building. So some of the mechanical contractual issues.
Very good. And so, go ahead, Ann.
So I don't disagree with anything that I've heard, and it's been, thank you, Dave, for shrinking this down, and thank you for the idea to have the two-pager. We've just got to keep our eye on, you know, what's really happening. But the way I have always looked at this from the biggest perspective is this, the North Florida Innovation Lab, is the fulcrum that best case takes advantage of this real estate, of which nobody is making any more, which is so well situated to address a lot of problems in our community. Commissioner Caban knows what I'm talking about. You know, this is that district, but it's also all tied to the universities. It's also all tied to downtown. Every development project I've ever, you know, been around as a lawyer, there's always this point. Is the original developer going to get to see the profit? Mm-hmm. You gotta hang in there. You gotta stick with it. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It is important to remember how far we have come with at least making this not, you know, completely in the ditch. And I think we are still headed in the right direction. It's going to be hard to get there fast enough to make it all work together.
Let's park on the, thank you. I appreciate that. Let's park on that for a second. How far out, what is our runway, and what are some of the hurdles that we're going to have to face before we get to the end of the runway? We have $2 million in reserves. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah, not even that much in reserves.
We have 1.3 in reserve.
1.36, I think.
Okay. We have 1.3 in reserve.
1.26 in investments right now.
Yeah. And we are burning cash at $250,000 to $300,000 a year.
Correct. Pre-CapEx.
And that's pre-CapEx. How long is the reasonable runway before we have a really substantial issue? I'm trying not to say the nasty word.
You know, it depends how Pollyannish I want to be with projections, right? If somehow we land $1.5 million to furnish the building, and we also then generate $700,000 a year, first year, second year, third year of the new building, so there's $3.5-4 million I'm trying to come up with. I don't know where it's coming from. Then we've got several years, 3 or 4 or 5 years. If reality sets in, then I think it's inside of 24 months that there's a major, and we can see it coming. And a timing issue I want to bring to everybody's attention is that in order to have the new building furnished in January, we have to make those decisions most likely in July.
That needs to be in that document.
Right. And if that's coming out of our reserves, what that means is we have no reserves after making that decision. I'm not suggesting for the moment that's necessarily the wrong decision. That is a decision that has to be made.
I was hoping that we would be able to generate enough money on naming rights and had asked for a presentation on that at this meeting. It didn't make the agenda, but I want to make sure we get that on a future meeting. But get enough revenue from naming rights that we could then furnish the building. I don't know how much possibility there is in naming rights. That's why I asked for that report, for that presentation. I don't know what it's going to cost us to furnish the building. Those two things we need to know pretty quickly. Time's running out.
Yeah, and those are tools that need to be understood inside of the toolbox. And then, Eric, I'd like to ask that you work with Michael and Bill to further explore the idea of inside of the economic impact, is there potential, whatever it looks like, we found money? You're thinking about something, and I want you to explore that, and let's see if there's a tool in the toolbox.
Bill, did you have Julie Arrington look this over?
at SEPA, at FSU?
Yes, that's my understanding, is she did the original analysis, and that was on the $17 million project rather than the
current. But the floor plan was, you said, the dollars, I mean, the, I can see how there would be a little bit of an additional impact from the extra money, but I think what's more important is what the status quo would be when this is all done and occupied. What's the annual turnover in terms of revenues and functionally tax dollars that would accrue from that? So I'm glad you got that information.
Mr. Chair.
Please.
A few things as I sit around the table and just think about the journey too and where we are now. So just, I call it buckets of points. So I recognize, and Michael, thank you for bringing it to our attention, that our economic development model and how we have looked at, you know, making, identifying businesses to come to this area, that has to change, and we need to orient and educate our stakeholders on why a dollar might be great in the short run, but it's not a long-term. It creates a long-term issue for us that if we're going to be self-sustaining and sufficient and all of that. So I think we need to start that socialization and conversation that this is the reason why. We can still be a great economic development partner, but it comes at the expense of this. And if we're going to operate with a model of wanting to do that, then there has to be an ongoing investment from the stakeholders that would like for us to move in that direction. County, city, whomever, right? I think the other part of this is that we have got to adopt a diversified portfolio model for how we do business, and even for Innovation Park itself. Rent and not being able to invest, and we know that those who are interested in space, they like the bells and whistles, and if you can't provide the bells and whistles in the space, you can tell me carpet is 40 years old or whatever the case may be, then that's lowering what we can even expect on that property. I think it's going to be important, like never before, our messaging and how we communicate that work that we have done, all of us around the table. It's been to get to the point of the innovation lab. And when what Eric is talking about, the return on investment, I think that that's one aspect of it with the lab. But even the journey itself, there's a story that is worth telling, because were it not for that, we would not be able to present. I know it's difficult, and it's, you know, it's feeling like that now, but we would not be able to present what really is carrying out the mission of this park. We would not have been able to deliver on it were it not for that work. But having said that, I think that we have talked about it for some means, and I think that it's time that we execute on it. I think you mentioned it as well, Dave, is the business plan for the lab. We have to have that sooner versus later. I thought, and I think one of the points I brought up at a prior meeting was maybe we could identify one of our local partners that would do this as an in-kind piece, helping us to establish a piece, and I'm talking about the assets related to the naming rights and all of that, that we could start getting out. Not just with local, but also those that we hope to attract and that they believe that this lab would be an invaluable destination for them. Why wouldn't we start using that to attract them and attracting them soon, it sounds like. But really, I mean, we've discussed it, but how do we board engagement involved, but move out on these things, especially with regard to this one, because it does, it sounds dire, but I don't think it's insurmountable. We just need to make sure that we're, again, hitting on all these points. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Some comments. Anybody else? Dave, thank you for your report. Is there a motion to approve the report?
So moved.
Second. It's been properly moved and second. All in favor of accepting the report?
Aye.
All right, thank you. Item number 9, Michael.
I was going to suggest that we request the board grant the staff to make a bunch of decisions so they don't have to cycle back through a board exercise. Having been here 1 month, I can't tell you if those are institutional requirements or just a function of past practice, but I know every time we try to talk about doing something, I get somebody in our organization, which is limited, 2 or 3 people, I knew I was new, that, well, we can't do it that way, we can't do it. So I wanted explicit permission that I execute leases, that I can make TIs within the budget, that I can execute membership agreements, that we can apply for grants, waive pre-employment drug testing, pursue the sponsorships and naming rights and board orientation. I know you said you wanted to have a presentation back on that. Somebody wants to offer us $5 million for the building. Do we need to bring that back to the board as long as it's a legitimate business? I mean, you guys are going to have to give some parameters to that, in my opinion. But I also don't want to be the holdup. Too many of the partners we deal with, FSU, I've just worked with for 10 days. They've leased another couple thousand feet in a building over there. The lease is ready for my signature today. But, of course, our documentation says it needs the board's approval. And I just want to be able to sign that, frankly, when I walk out of this meeting.
I'll make a motion.
Motion's been made.
I'll second the motion.
It's been properly seconded. Is there any discussion? Thank you for bringing that forward. We have sat in this room for far too many hours in the last couple few or several years working on administrative things that are not board level decisions. Thank you. I appreciate you. Full support of this. Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Unanimous. Okay. Item number 10, the tech grant applicants. Bill.
Yes, this is simply eliminating the requirement for applicants to be located in Leon County. Most of the applicants will necessarily be from our area, but we've had to turn away a few that might be good prospects for occupying space in the Idea Lab, which is the renovated Collins space, and in 11 short months, the new lab facility. In many ways, Tech Grants has been a really successful marketing program for Innovation Park. And so our request is to remove the Leon County only requirement and make it North Florida and with those general parameters.
Move staff recommendation.
It's been properly moved.
Second.
And seconded. Is there any discussion?
It's a great idea, Bill.
I think we discussed maybe an executive committee if that be expanded to the contiguous counties plus Bay County. Is that sort of what you're thinking?
I think that we don't need to be that specific. I think North Florida takes care of itself, and we'll get outreach through our partners at FSU into their expansion in Bay Counties, Bay County specifically. So I think specifying North Florida is sufficient in this regard.
All right.
Any other discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Perfect. Thank you very much. Item number 11, the update on North Florida Innovation Labs. Bill.
Yes, this is basically a briefing on where we are with that. As you may recall, the Board of Governors agreed to expand the Innovation Park TLH board, which is DBA North Florida Innovation Labs, to 7 from the original 3. LCRDA through IPTLH bylaws, will always have the majority of appointments to the nonprofit. So that would require, and this was in a previous board meeting, expanding the number of appointments from LCRDA to 4, and then 3 additional appointments to take the board of directors to 7. And within that, and we discussed this at the executive committee meeting, we would like the Board of Governors to appoint 1 member of the Board of Governors to the Innovation Park TLH board and 3 additional members who are not board current Board of Governors members to that body. Director Kramer did the research, and in that fashion, the nonprofit would not be subject to sunshine requirements. And more importantly, it allows us to leverage subject matter expertise directly related to the skill sets needed at the lab. So anyway, that's essentially the request. We're also recommending that we alternate months for the Innovation Park TLH board. So in the next hypothetical board meeting would be in March, in which we would seek appointments from LCRDA for its four members of that board, and three additional community members for that governing body.
So, what discussion? What questions do you have for Bill?
I'll move his recommendation.
Second.
All right, it's been properly moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
I assume that board appointment is by the chairman. Chairman will make the appointment as he does in all those chair committees.
Okay.
I don't think it needs to come back to it. I think you just need to make the appointment, in my opinion.
To the motion for that, I'll move it.
Yeah.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
It's done. Okay, good. Thank you. Item number 12 is the chair's report. Chair's report is just a restatement of the conversation we've already had. I don't think we need to go any further than that. I think we understand what's in front of us. My encouragement is for each of our board members individually, reach out to Michael, share your thoughts, make sure that you're thinking strategically about what opportunities might exist, what tools can we as the board provide our staff, because we're asking now the staff to help us create a path forward. I'll stop there. That's our responsibility.
Michael, what's the best number to reach you?
544-0503.
544-0503.
8505.
Staff reports.
I need to go first.
Yeah. So, that's in the audience. And the owner is on part of that, so we don't get rid of anything. That's another one. And last year's audit was submitted on March 18th, and they said they will do the same around March 18th. And I asked them to send us a draft before they publish the final figures, and they are going to do. So, grants, we have. Received the first payment of $3.3 million from the for the construction from EDO, and ARPA we have about 150,000 grants that we are using for, and out of that we have reimbursed 88,000. So we are submitting the remaining. That's based on the amount we spent. So we have spent 88,000, and we got the reimbursement from the city and the county. I really say thank you for budget. Our budget, as you have seen, the budget is based on our spending. We are on track. We don't have major discrepancies, and there is no red flag, that's what I'm saying. And so you have a refreshing on you.
So I'd like to personally thank you, honey, for all the work that you've done. I know you were instrumental in helping us recreate this financial report. This is invaluable. It was critical that we understand this. And I recognize how much effort you've put into this. So on behalf of our entire board, thank you for what you're doing. I would also like to say that I've had a handful of colleagues at FSU who have come up to me and tell us how fortunate we are as an institution to have you on our team. So thank you. Other staff report, Bill. Bill, are you next?
Sure. I'll just touch on a few things. The building project's going extremely well. Culpepper's doing a great job, very thoughtful, great communication. I would encourage anybody that wants to come out, put the hard hat on to take a quick tour. I'd love to do that with any of you at any time. We went through the needs and the rough timeline for those things. We had a meeting earlier today with the interior design and design team, so we'll have a better understanding of of priorities, both not only economic, but in terms of timelines, the kinds of timelines we need for the different types of furniture, fixtures, and equipment. We are continuing to chase money, so thank you for allowing us to pitch grants without waiting for the board's approval. That's extremely helpful. Since we last met, we were a part of FAMU's NSF engine application. As you know, that's $160 million over 10 years. Don't know whether they will get that or not, but we're written into that proposal. We are also written into several other proposals. I've begun outreach to our local legislative delegation, and we're hoping to get some funding into the proposals for this next session. We're also just doing general outreach and have invited them to tour the facility as well. As was mentioned, Collins has been renovated, and we are marketing that as Idea Lab at Innovation Park to differentiate the space from North Florida Innovation Labs. We view it as a pipeline bi-directionally, either prepping companies that might have applied for an SBIR grant, got some money, now they can move into the lab, or as companies predictably grow and have a need for space, they can grow by utilizing some of the space at Collins. It also could be a touchdown space for companies that are interested in accessing the facilities in the park. So I spoke with Philips MRI when they were in town and suggested that if they need access to a touchdown office and conference rooms, that we will have space across the street. So we're excited about what that does for us. It will operate as a mix of a chunk of tenants like the ones that Michael has been meeting with, and like Domi Station in some ways, with a focus on technology companies, a place for early stage companies to start in advance of moving into the lab. We're doing a ribbon cutting and an opening on February 23rd. We'll notice that. You will all be invited. The chamber will be there with a giant scissors to do that ceremony. Tech Grants is upcoming. You'll see notifications about applications coming out. The final pitch night will be in May. And I'll just touch base on a couple of things. As Aini mentioned, we're beginning to draw down the first funds from the EDA Build to Scale grant. That grant funds four positions over 3 years. We've posted the first position, which is a director of technology entrepreneurship. That's an important position. It'll be a training position, and we'll crank up the training programs this year in advance of the opening of the new lab. We've extended an offer, and it's been accepted for our marketing and outreach person. Christian will start later this month on the 21st, a sharp young man with a lot of great skill sets. In the interval, we've had a great vendor relationship with JH Creative, and you may have seen some of the creative running on the screen earlier today. But we're launching collateral materials, Idea Lab at Innovation Park, the new lab, both marketing materials and sponsor solicitation materials, and may have launched the new website today. So we will be covered in the March edition of Florida Trend. In addition to the editorial coverage, we'll have a full page ad with a call to action to make reservations in the new lab. I am meeting with a prospect generally in the solar energy space that's interested in creating a relationship at Innovation Park and with the new lab. We're working with OEV to create a project name for that circumstance that we need to execute an NDA. And finally, Michael Kramer and I are touring the facilities at the University of Florida and in Alachua on Tuesday to get a vision of our potential future, since they've been at it quite a bit longer and have had quite a bit of success. So that's a not so quick update, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Bill, I appreciate the update, and I'd like to thank you as well. You have so many irons in the fire. One of the things that I appreciate about what you're doing, you and Michael both, I've challenged these two guys to separate the mission from the noise. Bill, you in particular, with all of these things that you are doing to support the vision and the mission of North Florida Innovation Lab, you understand the challenges that surround us, but you've been very highly focused on accomplishing the mission. That's a huge deal. And on behalf of our board, I want to thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. It's my pleasure. The positions that he's talking about hiring are now covered in a grant that he was successful in obtaining. So those positions aren't going to hurt our bottom line. Thank you, Bill, for finding that grant, working on it, and ultimately being awarded.
Thank you. It's a great, great honor to work with you and our on our important mission.
Very good. Anna, go ahead.
I may have just missed this because of not being here, but do we have any threads out to Amazon? I know they're on a dip at the moment, but they won't be forever.
Yes, I've gotten two contacts at Amazon. I've reached out to one of them. She's actually a FAMU grad, and we have made tentative plans for her to tour Innovation Park at some point during the legislative session. The other contact that we have, Commissioner Miner, forwarded to me after his one-on-one meeting with that gentleman whose name escapes me currently. So we are reaching out to Amazon and think that they're a very good fit for some of the things that we anticipate in the lab, including the prototyping space in which they may have, they will have an interest in leaning into robotics.
Great.
As you both go to Alachua, first I'll say we took the entire board in there about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Very impressive, but make sure we find out their sources of funding and grants and all those other things. And we need to know where they tap sources, and maybe we can re-tap them.
Good.
Yes, sir.
Only thing I would add, just to kind of close the circle on a couple of things we talked about, the reason we're negotiating the ground lease is to give us all the flexibility for sponsorships and start to have those conversations with somebody that it's got to be its own entity, and that's like a booster organization, if you will, right? They have the ability to go do things that maybe the school or a government entity cannot do on its own. So that's why I've got to perfect that lease, and that's a little bit of the urgency, is to get that done so that we can move to some of those other initiatives. The other thing, as Aini mentioned, we did get our $3.3 million from the EDA. We got that January 11th, if I'm not mistaken. It was requested on October 15th. Now, my assumption, for a variety of reasons, is that the first one is the most challenging to get into AP, right? However, the funding challenges, when we talk about using our reserves, we've got a revolving line of credit, of course, with the Research Foundation. We're going to be faced with those issues to get the money from EDA and keep all the other plates spinning. One of the things we did in the last 2 weeks is I did a practice run with the Research Foundation for $25,000 in and out, just to make sure the mechanics of that worked in both directions, which they did. But remember, we only get really three more cracks at the EDA. The way it worked, you can only pull down a total of five times. So you really want to stretch as far as you can. I am not given great comfort by the fact that it took almost 4 months to get the first one. So we do have some kind of contingency plans to address that, but we've got to kind of keep it all in the window, further complicated, of course, by the furniture and the fixtures. So anyway, we're aware of that. I think it will go faster. And I just think that's one of the things we've got to constantly be aware of, and the timing, the potential government shutdown. Also, I don't know the implications on the EDA. That question was brought to me, and I do not have an answer on that, if it has any. I would ask the board, frankly, sponsorship ideas. Again, most of you have probably participated in other not-for-profits, and I assume a big portion of the job that the not-for-profits you've been involved with, if they're anything like the ones I've been on, it was to go raise money for the organization. And this one, in fact, they would have a real genuine sponsorship with lots of traffic and lots of visibility, either outside or inside a building, potentially. I know everybody was excited about the elevator project. It starts in April, so we shouldn't have to discuss it till then. The materials that you would get is just getting the raw material for the project. And then the last thing is I am planning on doing a board orientation for the new members. It will be publicly noticed. Anyone's welcome to come. I'm hoping that will include a tour of the Mag Lab with the chief of staff over there, as well as take a look through some of these old buildings, just so folks know what we're really dealing with, and talk about the park in whatever context anybody wants to. I should be smarter in another 30 days.
Michael, you are absolutely the right person at the right time. In such a short time, you've been able to get a masterful grasp on what's in front of us, where we are, where we've been, and your ability to see clearly inside of the noise has been fantastic. Thank you for your work. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Dave?
February 6th, 7th, and 8th, the International Grouping of Engineers, CEOs, Experts in Air Conditioning convening in Atlanta. There'll be over 10,000 of us, said. Dan Foss has invited some 40 some of those highest, most knowledgeable people in air conditioning in the world to come here and tour his plant on February the 9th. He's also suggested and set up the ability for those same individuals to tour other facilities in the Innovation Park. They will be visiting the Mag Lab. They will be going over to the Materials Lab where they're developing right now the lightest weight, strongest material that will eventually be used by NASA for rockets and by the aircraft industry and so on. Also, they'll be going to see the development and research in robotics and also with the wind tunnel. There is room on that bus. Dan Foss has invited our board members, if they'd like to join on that tour, to see these things. I suspect most of our board members don't really know what's going on in the park, but if we go, then we may not talk to one another about any issues. We're not going to put it, in my opinion, we should not put it under sunshine, but just go as individuals. Be ambassadors for a park. Some of these folks might be thinking of how might we better interface with Dan Foss. They're spending a whole extra day to come down here at their company's expense to see Dan Foss. Maybe they need some other space for component parts that they sell to Dan Foss, to manufacture those, whatever. But I would like to have from any of you an indication if you'd like to take that tour. It's at 2:00 next Thursday, February the 9th. It'll run for approximately 3 hours and we'll be on a big Provost Astro Tour bus. So give me your feedback as quick as you can that you want to be a part of that.
I'd like to organize that feedback through Peggy.
Yeah.
And so everybody check your calendars and let Peggy know if you're able to do it. And then, Eric, can you follow back and make sure that Dr. Chase Patterson knows that that's happening?
She does know what happened. She's been invited. She has indicated she would like to attend, but she's flying out at 6 that morning. So she's having one of her direct reports present her office.
Okay, good.
My question is just for Dr. Kramer. What can we do as a board to support you and your efforts? I know you mentioned, I know this motion earlier should help speed things along, but is there anything else that we can do with where you're at right now?
My objective, I come at everything like I'm a private investor, which has been the overwhelming majority of my career, right? And so the first thing I can do before I try to make any decisions is to make sure I have as good an understanding as I can about what's actual circumstances on the ground are. Well, part of what I was hoping to accomplish today, and hopefully we've done move the needle in some direction that way, is advance everybody's understanding of our current circumstances. And explicit, I tend not to go rosy and Pollyannish in most of my discussion, but now we can maybe have some clarity about figuring out what's next. Again, I'm 30 days into this, so I don't have great answers on some of those things beyond identifying these are some of the challenges we have to face. I would ask the board to give that a lot of thought in terms of our priorities. Again, the priorities is, I watched several of the last board meetings, and it's get the lab built, lease up the space. They both consume a lot of cash and a lot of attention, not, you know, and no, and that's failing to consider the remarkable amount of just governance that, I mean, you're familiar with, that we have to go through just almost on a daily basis just to comply with all the regulations that surround us as a government entity, right? So that's just going to consume the entire staff. We've got to figure out if those are continue to be the two main priorities, we accomplish those.
Since I'm new to the board, could we discuss a little bit what your vision is as in your goal to transition it to a different body? Or is that premature?
Well, I don't have an answer for that. That's actually the conversation that it is a fantastic question. That's the question that we've started the conversation of. We know that the authority model is slow, and I'm going to use the technical term clunky. We need to figure out how we can be more effective. The reason that I mentioned a P3 structure is that under Florida statutes, P3s are created to allow the public-private partnership. And then the benefit of the P3 is that the P3 partner, the private sector partner, the development risk is put on their shoulders, and the obligation and responsibility to provide finance is placed on their shoulders. Now, they won't come in and do it for free. And these types of research parks are historically not huge money makers. And so there needs to be a development return. All I'm saying is we need to explore what the opportunities are to create a more efficient structure so that ultimately the mission, which is embodied in our labs, is successful.
Do we have, are you handling that? Or is that a motion we should direct staff to look, explore options? Should we discuss that?
That was another great question. It's part of part of the earlier conversation where this board needs to reach out to Michael and to Bill and to share ideas on what tools do you think?
So we all individually do our research and come back to the board.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So there's a handful of different major paths that an entity like this could go down. I'm not necessarily ready.
I just want to understand because I'm new. I've read the previous agendas. But one thing I can say is that, you know, as most people in this room, I'm sure know, commercial real estate is competitive. It moves quick. And so I do believe that we as a body on the economic development side, we need to be more aggressive and move quicker because this cash, I mean, the statement, the numbers are not favorable over the next 18 months. And so I think we need to look at a game plan to do a hard pivot so that way we can be aggressive and competitive to some of those other companies that we're looking to recruit.
That is spot on. I completely agree with that. Understanding what that pivot looks like, this board, as we have these kinds of conversations and the executive committee meets to push some of the sub-initiatives forward, we can only do as much as we can do in these public meetings. And so if the board wants to be part of providing policy, there has to be additional effort applied outside of the board meeting. The communication has to go to staff because it can't go laterally across the board. To your point, and it's the exact same issue that you are addressing as a commissioner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we've got to come up with a more efficient structure. We have the complexity of knowing that we have a limited runway in front of us. We have the larger operation of the park. We have the more necessary operation of North Florida Innovation Labs. And how do we make all of this work? We have three substantial partners inside the park: LCRDA, FAMU, and FSU. They're each invested individually and separately. We each do a different, we each serve a different purpose. We each do different types of research. We do different things in terms of the operations. And so there's not a, from where I'm sitting, there's not a clearly defined, well, just do this and it's fine. That hasn't been an epiphany for me yet. I hope it is for you.
Can I just say one thing? So, because again, I've been sort of out of the loop for a while, I've been wondering about all these same things. Obviously, we are a statutorily created entity. That is just going to complicate whatever. And my part of my brain that resists being a lawyer says, if we get balled up in the structure question to too great an extent, we're not going to be able to do the work that needs to be done. You know, it's a huge question. I think that's what you're saying. It's got a lot of people in it. I, frankly, off the top of my head, I hope there is some way to press forward without necessarily running head on into that. Maybe there isn't, but it's worth everybody thinking about it. Yeah.
For the moment, we have to press forward.
We right? do.
I mean, I would argue that our current circumstances aren't the result of our structure.
I agree.
A different structure might make them easier to solve, or even if not, maybe a different structure at some point in time makes this place easier to operate and fulfill its mission. At some point, my word would be, I think the duty of a board is to protect the mission, not the entity.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the focus should be on advancing the mission that this thing was created to do, rather than protecting the old buildings. Now, there's all sorts of territorial things. We got political bodies involved in this and the universities and whatnot, but that the mission's still the mission.
Is the mission economic development or research?
Both. The charter has a twofold mission that is both of those.
Where I see an issue is we need revenue. Mm-hmm. And so revenue is a foundation for everything else that we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And so we have to, and that's how we're going to be able to longevity to perform both parts of the mission. Mm-hmm. And so I think we should be looking at how do we increase our revenue. To me, based on what we're seeing, I don't think leasing 13,000 square feet is going to be the means to do it.
That just slows it down.
Yeah, exactly.
So if we were to back up, move the clock back 5+ years, okay, we can't do anything about this now. We should have changed our structure back then and then brought in some, and my opinion is that we should have brought in an entity. If we went down the P3 route, you bring in through a competitive procurement, bring in the partner, put the partner, identify in the scope of the agreement, here are all the things that you need to do. And we put it all on the private sector real estate company. And then they're not subject to sunshine. They're moving at this speed.
Public-private partnership.
Right. And so I'm not suggesting that is the answer. I'm just saying that that's an example of a different tool. The biggest challenge that I think we face right now is that we have gone down a path for a considerable period of time. And now we are understanding the financial implications of our business model. And we never had enough clarity. Dave, thank you for the clarity. We hadn't had this type of clarity about what our operating plan should be. And had we done that then, I think we would have course corrected. But we are here. And so now we've got to figure out, and to your point, we're not going to fix the structure in time to court correct.
No.
We need to be paying attention to both of those along the way, because whatever, you know, okay, so if there's a white knight, whatever that looks like, somebody that comes in and just throws the money at it, they also need to receive an operating model that works, whatever that is. So those are the things that we've got to figure out. Those are the ideas that I think as board members, we need to be directing those thoughts over to Michael and to Bill so that they can run some traps on them. Go ahead.
Don't mean to keep pushing it forward, but I mean, by the time our next meeting, we're going to lose $80,000 again. So an idea that I've seen could work is that I guarantee that there are private companies that would come with a contract and inject $1 million in if they have the ability to make it return down the line in their contract. And so I just keep that in mind as we look, you know, as we discuss further. But then we kind of, they're coming in up with a short-term cash. They have a contract to earn it back, plus make the return on investment.
Okay.
And so for me, I do believe that this conversation should move aggressively based on these financials.
And I appreciate you being here today and digging in. And I encourage you, absolutely explore. If y'all can explore that a little bit further, that'd be great.
Awesome.
Anybody else? Okay, so Dave, you had a request to go look at the other space.
Just walk through.
Let's do the walkthrough. I think we can turn off the Zoom.
Well, what we'll have to do is stop the Zoom. Our Wi-Fi is messing up right now, so I can't just pick up the Zoom meeting and go with you. Let's just pause for now. And over there, I'll do an audio recording. So it'll be two pieces that we publicly post when it's completed. And I'll know who's on
the board. Could we just recess? Take a break, and then during the break,
walk through and come back and discuss it.
That's fine. When we're over there, there just won't be any discussion about business matters.
Yep.
Okay, so pause.
Excellent. Michael, thank you for the space. It's excellent. You've done a great job. Any final questions or comments before we convene or adjourn?
Well, just we've spent a lot of money getting that facility ready. Now it's upon all of us to find tenants to start filling it up.
Yeah. My question would be, who has so far been contacted to look at that space? And the answer may be nobody, I don't know. But I can tell you that FSU has spent a lot of money fixing nooks and crannies in like Research A and B to accommodate new faculty or expansion of their work. And of course, these people want to be probably in the same areas, so but you're faculty member A and you want to expand, you'd like to expand in your periphery and so forth, that may or may not be possible. But Research A and B, and what is it, half mile away? I don't know, it doesn't matter. The space here offers an opportunity, contiguous space for a program to stay in very equivalent space to Research A or B. And so I would make sure that like the College of Nursing, the Dean of Nursing knows about this, that the new Dean or Interim Dean of Medicine knows about this. They landed a research group from Duke, I think it was, elsewhere. With $100 million for the NIH funding for the next 10 years, something like that. In reality, on an annual basis, it's a lot of money. And they're looking for space. We wedged them in. But it's stuff like that. And that probably isn't going to be the last one that we get. This is a very nice opportunity for office space, you know, workspace, even semi-dry lab space, whatever it would be, conference, etc. So no one knows about this over at NSU.
We certainly have had remarkably little interest. We've had remarkably little interest so far. I had lots of conversations with NSU in different aspects. And again, they're leasing some more space over there. I showed them this space because it's ready to go.
Yeah.
And they actually prefer the other space that we're going to fix up because it's closer to their old building because they own the Slager building. And it was also pre-wired because NSU had been in that building before.
Well, one thing about it, space running out. So it's
a good idea.
Yeah. So there's two issues that are easy to mention, but they're super complex. One is space. This I'm putting on an FSU hat for a minute. One is space management. The other is leasing. FSU has a considerable number of leases outside of their main campus. How space management works gets very much broken down by the different units, departments, programs, and so forth. And it's a very substantial operation. So as much as I have opportunity, I will share that because it's great space. Any information flyers that you have?
And we're working on all that for that open house that Bill's got planned later this month.
Yeah. Good. And I guess before we break, the last comment that I'd like to make is, two things. One, everybody, thank you for being here today. When you guys, and two, when you are putting together those summaries about the lab and the park, if we can add the park into it, and I'm envisioning this as one page that deals with the park and maybe two pages that deals with the lab, but this is not an extensive deep dive. This keeps us at 30,000 feet.
I'm not a real estate guy, but is this called Class A space or not? What is this, Class B space? What is it?
I'll defer to Kevin.
Well, yeah, and that's going to, it's not going to be Class A. It could be Class B. It's a lot of times those terms are relative to the market that they're in. And, you know, this is probably going to be just middle of the road, vanilla Class B space.
And that's this, you know, I assume you're referring to the space itself. Our location for certain folks becomes less attractive just because of where we are relative to where the food desert out here. I mean, there's other implications for folks depending on people working in this specific space.
But what's the planned rental cost for that space right now?
The planned?
Well, I mean, if you're in a lease, what would you want to lease it for?
That's a great question. The last lease that were proposed out at the end of last year was $17 a foot. I have no idea where those numbers came from, but that's what was used on the deal I just cut with FSU because it had been proposed already. Then accepted. And I do not know what it should be. That's a question I'm working on.
FSU would rather use your own space because it's, of course, free or at least lower cost. But when you run out of space, you run out of space.
That's right. And I think that the reality is, for this spaces over here, we're most likely to be chopped up. People want to take 3 offices, 7 offices, 8 offices. And frankly, I would propose we get out and plan to, with my new authority, I guess, to get out of the per square foot conversation. If you want a room, it's $350 per room, or it's $500 a room. It's got a window. I want to be able to have those conversations at a room level or a 2 or 3 room level. I'm getting into square foot conversation. Well, how are they going to get there? They're using the hallway, but they're not going to pay for it. So if I move into if somebody takes the whole building, that's a different conversation. But if they're taking 3 offices, I don't have a mechanism to deal with the hallway and the common area and the break rooms, and I need to compensate for that, or a window or a corner. And we don't have a rate card for that. We don't have a rate card really yet for NFIL. All of that's, in the works, best I can tell.
Can we envision tenants there using this facility's break room?
Yeah, there is a break room on the other side, but remember that side is, that's a 10,000, 11,000 feet over there. So they're certainly going to use the restrooms over here.
Yeah.
And I anticipate they would use both. And there may be 1 or 2 folks who have space over there, hopefully, that are also using the lab, which at present it's full here. The 2,500, 3,000 feet we have is completely full.
And when we get our new lab built, does the folks in this lab move over there?
They could.
Do we anticipate that?
I assume they'll want to. I assume pricing will be a factor in that decision. And remember, a lot of them have office space elsewhere too. It just depends on if there's something in the new lab. It's going to be a sexier place and new and shiny. If it's got some benefits from a performance or what they're doing, and not the least of which, hopefully, is the interaction with other folks that are working and innovating and creating at the lab. I think that's going to be the appeal. From a marketing perspective, what I've read, if you build the lab and they'll find you. And I know Bill gets inquiries daily wanting to move in. If you look at our lobby, somebody sent a bunch of that's $500,000 of the laser equipment there because he thought the lab was ready. So it's in our lobby right now, and I'm charging him $650. It's about $200 a foot if we're keeping track per square foot at this point. So he's our best tenant in the property. Right there.
Congratulations. And it's a high watermark. Anybody else? Appreciate everybody being here. Motion to adjourn.
No moves.
Good meeting, everybody.